Carl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. We all know this. Greenlight is the debit card and money app for families that helps kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely.
Yeah, and also the parents are involved too.
Yes.
Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
So this is, I say this every week. We have this with Daisy. I love it. You can customize the debit card. We've got a picture of Golden on it. I love talking to Daisy about money. I never had any of that financial planning when I was a kid. Nobody taught me anything. I love getting to like go over the app with Daisy. She can see what's in her account. She can see us using the allowance feature, so she sees that she gets her allowance every week, and then we can talk about what she wants to save for and what she wants to spend her money on.
It's demystifying it.
It is,
you
for
know?
Sure.
And then kids and teens, too, can build money confidence and skills in a more fun and accessible way.
Exactly. And maybe, girl, that's why millions of parents and kids, just like me and Steve and Daisy, are already learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance safety app.
Yeah, they also have the chores feature, where you can set up one-time or recurring chores. You can customize it to your household. You can reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. We're all keeping track.
She asks about it every single week. Every Friday as we're getting into the weekend, it's macaroni and cheese and Greenlight time.
Look, girl after my own heart.
So fam, start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO and customize that debit card.
That's right.
It's that thing where I know one line from the new Chappell Roan country song, and it's just on a loop. It's just on a loop in
my head.
What is
it?
Take it like a taker.
Nice.
That's all I know.
Country's having a moment.
Country
just saying.
Is having a moment. Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
How's everyone doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, you know? I'm doing all right.
Okay, good.
Just had to brace myself there for a minute. Yeah.
Fam, just a reminder to join us over there on the Facebook group, but if you're not into that, you got another option. You want to tell them about it?
What?
The Discord.
Oh, the Discord. Yes, I love the Discord. We have a Discord, and it's really great, and if you want to go to it, you can just follow the link in our show notes.
What's it like in there?
It's really fun. We have all these different channels, so we have a general true crime channel. We have like a regular episode discussion, Patreon episode discussion. We have a book club discussion.
It's not that I'm not allowed in there. It's just
you don't want to be in there.
I don't really want to, but I will. It's not really my thing,
it's
but
not
I
your
will
thing.
Try.
It's fine. People can have different things.
They like to have a place where they can go hang out with like their cool best friend, Jillian.
Okay, cool. And I love being there.
Maybe it's kind of like the planet where we have to live like we want to be sent for.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know what I
also
mean?
Someone in the Discord, I didn't ask them if I could say their name, so I'm not gonna.
Okay.
But they were at Malice at the Palace.
No.
They were at the game.
They were there. Did they say they can see themselves in any of the footage?
No, we didn't get there yet.
Oh,
but
shit. That's amazing.
They said they were there.
Wow.
Their relative had season tickets. I don't want to say too much because I didn't ask permission to talk about it, but yeah.
Holy, holy macaroni.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, girl?
Welcome to a bonus episode, everyone. Yeah. We promised, and here we are. We're doing more. We love these bonus episodes. This is from that series, Web of Death, that we really like and appreciate. This is episode 5. It's called Facebook Live.
That night at the party, she left the house, never came back.
Nikisha Hodges Hawkins was shot and killed
when someone opened fire on a crowd after a birthday party.
Shockingly, no one stepped forward to identify who shot and killed Nikisha.
It said live on my page, so I pushed it. If I would not do this for Keisha, I would be less than a man.
It moved a community. It absolutely did.
Cal Vaughn, to me, seemed like he was not going to stop until he got an answer.
I'm going to get justice.
We're starting at the top with Calvin Hawkins. He is the dad of our victim here.
Yeah, our victim is Nikisha Hodges Hawkins.
This man puts all other dads to shame. This man
is really the great dad
of dads.
He's really great.
He just wears his emotions on his sleeve. He openly cries, which I think is like, it's such a good sign of like emotional intelligence.
Yeah, he's been through it. And he, as he says, plays chess, not checkers.
This guy is just amazing. I was so happy to spend an hour with him.
Yeah.
But he tells us what his family was like. He said they were a very happy family of five. It was just them. He says it was him, his wife Janice, little Cal, Kenyatta, the brother, and Keisha, also known as Nikisha. It's like her birth name.
Yeah, her friends and family call her Keisha.
Yeah.
Keisha always pulled practical jokes on you, but she also was smart. That was my heart.
Practical joker.
I know.
I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
My favorite thing to watch on Instagram Reels or TikTok are like the reels of people like falling down driveways. I love that. Like those are my favorite.
But like on ice, like slipping on ice.
Yeah, like slipping on ice.
Like who's having trouble walking down their own driveway?
Or they fall off the porch or the snow falls on their head.
You like watching people get hurt.
No. If they get hurt, I can't enjoy it. But if they just like slip and they look silly, like that's my favorite thing.
Okay, okay, okay.
But what the practical joke ones are also like the ones where they're hiding behind a door and they jump out at people.
I know.
I love those so much. But I don't think I'd want people to do that to me.
I don't think anyone really wants anyone to do it to them.
Right.
I certainly don't.
Uh-huh. Or like the people with the saran wrap over the door at face level and they just walk into the saran wrap face first. It's so
good. We can do better, can't we? Just feels a little like low-hanging fruit to me.
But it's like watching somebody do it or like when you surprise somebody with an air horn, like you walk up behind them with an air horn.
That would, like, I would never talk to you again.
Well, there are people you do it to and there are people you don't do
it to.
Like,
I would never speak to you again.
I would never do that to
That's
you.
That's a level of like annoyance that I don't think you ever come down from. I think you just sort of live there
now. I know. But anyway, she was a big practical joker. I just want to know like what were her go-to practical joke was. That's all.
Yeah, I would like to know like kind of what her style is. Because I think
whoopee cushions.
I think there's a fun style. I would laugh at the whoopee cushion for sure. I think that's very funny.
A whoopee cushion.
That's kind of like, let's go back to basics. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The old whoopee cushion thing never fails.
Uh-huh. There's also this lady on Instagram Reels who has fakes a thick New England accent and just calls random numbers in New England. And people, like old ladies, my mom will answer the phone and she'll be like, well, how you doing? And they'll just, the lady will
just
think
to
that.
Chat?
Well, but like the people who answer the phone are like I think that she's fooling them into like making them think that they've forgotten who this is or they should know who this is. So now they just have this like chat for 5 minutes. It's so good.
So it's harmless, I guess?
It's so harmless.
Okay,
it's
then they hang
so
up.
So sweet. And they hang up. It's
so it's not
good.
The Jerky Boys, if
it's
anyone knows that reference?
Not the Jerky Boys.
Travel.
Girl, Cure is a new sponsor. So get this. Cure is a plant-based, hydrating electrolyte drink mix with no added sugar.
It's natural. It's delicious. It's convenient. You're keeping you and your whole family hydrated without all that artificial stuff, which you know we don't do here.
No, and you're saying Mike is really loving this stuff. Mike's a runner, as you all know.
He's a runner now, and it's also like getting really hot, so it's really important to stay hydrated, and you can forget to do it, and Mike is one of those people, he thinks plain water is just boring,
totally.
So Cure is really helping him. It's only 25 calories per serving. There are no added sugars, no artificial sweeteners.
Yes, it's the cleanest way to hydrate. It's refreshing. It's delicious. They have incredible flavors, including berry pomegranate, strawberry kiwi, lemonade, watermelon, tropical punch, blood orange, and lime.
Yeah. So this is for people if you're having trouble drinking enough water, if you're having trouble staying hydrated. Cure just adds a little bit of flavor to make your water taste better.
Yeah, it's a great way to start your day, whether you need a morning boost or electrolytes for your workout. It's something to keep you going during the day. Cure fits into any routine.
And not to like pile on or anything, but 75% of Americans are dehydrated and we don't drink enough water or electrolytes. So I'm not saying it's you, but it's probably you. So we got to get hydrated.
So fam, hydration goes beyond just drinking water. It's about replenishing the electrolytes we lose through sweat, sleep, alcohol, and daily activities.
Water alone isn't enough to do the job. That's why you need to try Cure, the electrolyte drink mix that tastes as amazing as it makes you feel.
For TCO listeners, Cure is offering 20% off your first order.
Stay hydrated and feel your best by visiting curehydration.com/TCO and using promo code TCO at checkout.
That's curehydration.com/TCO and use code TCO for 20% off your first order. Look, if it's good enough for Mike, it's good enough for all of us.
It's so good. I'm telling you that lime, like the tropical flavors are so good. They're so refreshing. So Calvin is a protector, he says. He says, I just want to protect my family. That's the only thing I ever wanted to do. So it's July 24th, 2011, and Nikisha comes out all dressed up for a party.
Yeah.
And her father's like, excuse me, where do you think you're going at this hour?
And he will tell us like later on that he's a very protective, almost overprotective dad.
Yeah.
Always wants to keep his kids out of danger.
Yeah.
You know, like any parent.
And Nikisha's like,
Nikisha came out of the room dressed. I said, where you think you going? Because I'm seeing the time. Like, where you think you're going? She's like, I'm going to Paw Paw House. I said, I know you're lying.
And he knows she's lying, but he's going to, like, let it slide this time.
Now, as Calvin is telling us about this, we're seeing texts on screen between two people. And we don't know who, but I'm assuming it's Nakisha and someone else saying, I hope you're coming to the party.
Yeah.
What are you wearing? I'm obviously wearing red. I'm thinking I'm wearing yellow. You'll find out tonight. I'm like, what's with these colors? We'll get into it eventually.
Yeah.
Janice, Keisha's mother, is here.
Right.
And Keisha didn't tell them about the party because Janice says she knew she wouldn't be allowed to go.
Right.
And her parents are like, we can't pick every battle. They don't pick this one. It's like, I get it.
Right.
They let her leave. But Calvin had a gut feeling that something was wrong. He goes, I just knew it in my heart.
And he says, I let her go and she never came back.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the most extreme example. And because anytime your kid leaves the house, you're going to have that feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm just saying to Calvin, like, he will beat himself up about this for years and years and years to come. And I wish he wouldn't do that to himself.
I know.
You know, but because he had that one thought of, like, I shouldn't have let her go and something tragic really did happen, he blames himself.
Yeah. I maintain he can't pick every battle. I get it, you know? What are you going to do?
I'm the king of not picking every battle.
Come on. So Kenyatta is Keisha's brother.
Yeah.
And he's here. And he also went to the party. And he was 13 years old at the time.
And he's describing, like,
a lot of high schoolers and classmates. People older than me, obviously. I was only, like, 13 at the time. Michigan City is quite a small town, so everybody knows everybody. So you knew everybody who was there. When I arrived, everybody was having fun. It was like a stoplight party is what the theme of it was. So,
explain what this party is.
So it's at Kruger Memorial Hall in Michigan City.
Uh-huh.
It's a spotlight party.
What?
And I was like, oh, so that's where the red and yellow reference comes from?
What does that mean? Because I have it down. He said it was a bus stoplight themed party. So is it like traffic lights?
I guess it's like you just dress in the colors. Because they was like, oh, what are you wearing? I'm wearing red. I'm wearing yellow. I'm Googling spotlight party.
What,
now.
Like an
stoplight
interesting
party.
Idea for a party.
Yeah. It feels like, what? Are we missing?
I think we're missing something.
Okay.
Oh, she found an answer.
I seriously, I can't believe I didn't look this up
in the moment.
I thought
they were dressing like traffic lights.
It's where you dress, you wear different colors indicating your relationship-seeking status.
Oh, how gay handkerchief in the back pocket in the 1970s in San Francisco.
So it's one of those kinds of things. So color green means that you're single and looking.
Oh, single, ready to mingle.
Red means that you're in a relationship.
Okay.
And yellow is, I don't know.
Oh, yellow is open to interpretation.
Yellow is, as Facebook used to say, it's complicated.
Oh, I'm very glad you looked this up because I'm like, wait, the point is to joke. Because in the Facebook group, they would be like, you idiots.
I know.
Here's what this is.
The one thing I didn't research. I'll read court transcripts and police transcripts for 10 hours.
But you're not researching a bus stoplight party.
I literally was like, oh, it's the colors. How cute.
Totally. Me too. But I was like, these kids seem way cooler than me.
Idiot.
How would
I'm
they?
An idiot.
This doesn't sound fun.
Well, I did it now.
Oh, my
Crisis
God.
Crisis averted.
Totally.
What a mess that would have been.
Totally.
So the party started great. Like, lots of people. It's a really good time.
Yeah.
It wasn't until people arrived later that the vibe started to diminish. Like, everybody knew of these people or knew these people personally. So they know that normally trouble follows wherever they go. There's a lot less people dancing and having a good time. And everybody's just, like, looking over their shoulders.
And then there was, like, this crew of people who showed up that, like, everybody kind of knows where these people go, trouble follows. Now they're there and the party's not fun anymore.
And the vibe is totally ruined.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's, like, a lot of tension and a lot of conflict. There's a group of girls that start fighting and then the bad vibes crew start fighting with people. It's just bad news across the board.
Yes.
And then the party shuts down.
Right.
But that ended up causing more chaos.
Yeah. Well, what happens is whoever's running the party kicks everybody out. Now there's 150 kids out on the street.
And it's just like a mob of people walking around.
I lived in the West Village for a year when I was very young and I was like in my early 20s. And I had this amazing apartment where it was a 3-story building and the apartment was the top floor. Then there was like a warehouse underneath us and that we could get into. And one year, my friend Jordan and I threw a Halloween party in there and invited everybody.
In the West Village that is already mobbed on Halloween?
Literally.
You can't walk in the West Village at all.
I know. And this was 2001 before the straight people took it over and made it super boring. But it was awesome. And we had like 200 people at we hired a DJ. We put in lighting.
Fun.
It was wild.
Fun.
And the cops came and we're like, oh my God, we're all going to jail. And they're like, nope, just stay inside. They're like, we were never here. You just keep your friends inside until midnight and it's all good. Nobody's going to get in trouble.
Wow.
Because they wanted to avoid exactly what's happening here.
Did someone complain about the noise or something?
I don't know. Or probably. I mean, like, there was no other tenants of the building. So it wasn't like we were disturbing our neighbors. But who knows? Maybe they just saw the lights from outside because, like, we hired lights and fog. We went into Jersey and bought bales of hay and pumpkins. Like, we fucking did it for Jesus. It was such a good party.
That one time you were a party animal.
Yeah, totally. Oh, and I'll post pictures in the Facebook group because Jordan and I went as gay scarecrows.
Cute.
My friend Alexa.
Is there any other kind? I mean, let's get it.
Literally, no. My friend Alexa went as Ophelia, drowned in the swamp.
In Ophelia. The swamp Ophelia.
Yeah, exactly. Like Shakespearean Ophelia. And we put shit in her hair. It was really good.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, the cops, like, in this is like a situation of like what happens when you do break up a party like that and make 150 people go out onto the street.
Well, also, tensions are high and people are pissed. And like, no one likes getting kicked out of a party. So this is a recipe for disaster. So it's 10 o'clock. Keisha calls her parents.
The phone rang. It was Keisha.
And she's like, Mom, can you come pick me up? I'm like, where are you at? She was like, I came to this party. I don't want to be here. Can you come pick me up?
So Janice left.
The next thing I remember is like 8 or 9 gunshots going off.
Remember, she told her parents she was going to her friend's house. She lied to her parents. She called her mother to say, I lied. I went to a party. Come and get me. The mom's like, great, be right there.
Keisha does the right thing.
Yep.
Janice, the mom, does the right thing. No questions asked. Goes and picks her up.
Yep.
We've talked about this before. I've pled to you before. Please
do
have
this.
A relationship with your kid or kids or whatever, the guardian, whatever.
Yeah.
That this is how it is. The lie we'll get to later.
Yep.
The most important thing is that they feel safe enough to say, I know I lied, but if I say I need help, I need you to pick me up, there's not going to be bullshit coming at me on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
We're just going to get picked up and get safe.
Yep.
So everyone here did the right thing, Janice and Keisha.
Right. So 15 minutes later, 10:15, Kenyatta, the younger brother, hears, quote, 8 or 9 gunshots.
And everyone starts screaming. And
remember, there's 150 people on the street.
Yeah. So even more chaos. It's been a horrible 20 minutes.
Yes.
Really, a very tense, like no one really knows what's going on. And everyone has been fighting before that.
Yeah.
And now these gunshots start going off. So Kenyatta walks towards the screams.
He says, something told me to walk towards the screaming.
I can't believe it. He's 13 years old.
And he recognizes one of the screams as his cousin. So he thinks his cousin has been shot. But when he gets over there, he sees that it's not that the cousin has been shot. It's that his cousin was with his sister, Keisha, and she's been shot.
Because that was who his cousin was screaming about.
Yes.
Keisha, his sister. Now, Nikisha is alive.
Yeah.
She's gasping for air. And Kenyatta, who's 13 years old.
She's still breathing, but it was like, she was gasping for air. And I just knelt down right beside her. I held her hand. I held her head.
I held her head. I held her hand. Can you imagine being a 13-year-old who's stepping into that role?
To be there with your sister as she dies.
Also, who's called.
Right.
Who feels, I'm going to walk toward the screams in this chaotic situation. And is there with his sister in that moment.
It's incredible. I mean, it's the saddest thing I've ever... Well, we're just getting started with the sad,
Yeah. So, because Janice, the mom, arrives, and Nikisha has died of gunshot wounds.
She sees a body under a sheet on the street, and she instinctively knows it's her daughter.
And she...
How wild
I know.
Is that?
This family is so close.
Very connected.
Very connected.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has to pull this white sheet off of her daughter, and then she has to make the worst phone call in the world, which is calling Calvin.
Yeah.
At home and saying what happened. And she, you know, like even talking about it now, it's so hard because it's the guilt.
Right. And he says, I knew I shouldn't have let her go. This is what I was always trying to avoid.
Yeah.
And this is what happened.
What are you going to do? Keep her home all weekend?
No.
Pick every battle? Have every single fight?
Because
no.
She didn't do anything wrong. She was just a young kid who went to a party. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like it's like
everyone else at that party told the same lie.
I know.
They all did it.
I'm like, I know there's no question that I'm going to be in this situation. There's no question.
Kids are going
to
do it.
I mean, you've said it about you were going to bars when you were like a junior in high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I know that like this is not about Keisha being a bad kid. This is about Keisha being a normal kid.
Of course.
You know, and Calvin being a good dad who didn't want to have the fight tonight, you know?
Of course. And when things got bad, if I had to call my parents, I could call my parents.
Yeah.
And we'll
of
talk
course.
About it. You know, like the reason I was able to go to those bars a lot of the time is because my parents trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
I was with who I said I was going to be
right.
with.
Right.
But were we doing things, you know, did we, you know, saunter over to the Stuytown keg? Sure.
The Stuytown keg?
That's neither here nor there, okay?
And frankly, none of your business, dear listener.
But like, did I sleep at Jane's apartment and sleep over? And did my parents know Jane's parents?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I was with the people I said I was going to, but sometimes we made our way to the Stuytown keg.
I never did anything bad in high school. I never did.
Really?
I was so, I loved my life in high school. I was like a nerd in the drama club, and I had a ton of girlfriends, and we would like, sometimes we'd sneak out at night and go to the beach. Like after
I've
was
never
like,
snuck out.
I mean, it was like, you know, but I never drank. I mean, and when I was a, that's not true. When I was a senior, I did like, I went to parties and had drinks or whatever, but like, I was just like, there was nowhere to go anyway. It was Cape Cod. It wasn't like it was New York City where we could get into a bar with a fake ID.
Right.
Just, that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
But yeah. Keisha did nothing wrong. Kelvon did nothing wrong. This was just a
Janice,
shitty thing.
No, no.
You know?
It's what happens. Travel down the road, back again.
Girl, Quince is back. Mother's Day is upon us. And if you are looking for that perfect gift for the mother in your life,
yeah,
Quince is where it's at.
Especially the one that's like, oh, you don't have to get me anything.
Those are the ones you have to get something for.
Yeah.
So I got my sister-in-law, Julie, the water-repellent suede clog mule.
Whoa.
It's like a slipper. You slip it on and off. It's so easy. You can wear it out in the rain if you're going to get, like, if you're walking the dog or if you're going to get the mail or whatever. It's water-repellent. It's super cute, super comfy. I know she's going to love it.
That's amazing. You know my nylon crossbody bag. It's my favorite thing in the world.
But because we know Quince for things like their cashmere sweaters from $50 or their 14-karat gold jewelry, Italian leather bags, fragrances, so much more. But check out the Mother's Day section. They make it really easy for you.
Yeah. Here's the best part, though. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
Yes. And they do this by partnering directly with top factories. They cut out the cost of the middleman and they pass that savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
Truly, I love Quince. I was on the website today and I was like, I just like drifted over to the men's stuff because I love it
amazing.
So much. It's so good.
That lounger set, the joggers, it's so cute.
It's so good. So fam, thoughtful, timeless, totally her. Shop Mother's Day at Quince.
Go to quince.com/TCO for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
Yeah, that's quince.com/TCO to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/TCO.
They do have stuff for people who like men's clothing too, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's like Mother's Day is great, but also like totally. For everyone, every time of year. It's great.
Always.
Yeah.
But now we learn a little bit about Keisha. She was a baker.
Yeah, and she was the party, basically.
Keisha was the main one. Like, if she was to go spend the night at somebody else, the house would be quiet with me, Janice, Lil Cal, and Yacht. But when Keisha come home, it was stir crazy.
Like, Keisha was fun. Like, she was silly.
Kelvon is saying when she would have nights that she'd go sleep over at other at friends' houses, they'd be like, don't go.
So boring now.
You're so fun.
Yeah.
You're the fun one.
And she loved to bake, and she loved to bake for others. So, yeah. Like, that's what she loved to do during the holidays. She was always, like, baking goods to give to people.
And that's what Janice does now to, like, think about Keisha. She, like, bakes cakes.
And it, like, brings her peace because, again, they're so connected, this family.
Yeah, and Kenyatta, the younger brother, he's like, we were closer than close. We were inseparable. She was an amazing friend. He says a loving spirit, very empathetic. Like, he...
The cool older sister...
Totally.
It was nice to him.
But yeah, I was going to say, like, that can so go. I'm very close with my older sister now, but not when we were growing up. You know what I mean?
When you were 13 years old?
No, of course. Yeah. Not even, like, no.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, it's amazing that they, I love it when you see stories where, like, siblings like that are really tight. It's amazing.
I know. I agree.
And Janice, now, I know we don't like this. I know we don't subscribe. Janice says she was my best friend. We know how that can be problematic.
Janice doesn't mean it like that.
No, no. You can tell that Janice has got rules.
I got a good read on Janice.
Totally.
She knows what's going on. She just meant like they bonded, you know, and she's a tragedy happened. So
totally.
it's not, I'm not a real mom. I'm a cool mom. It's not that.
Uh-huh.
Janice knows what's up.
Yeah. Like if something, God forbid, happened to Daisy, I'd be like, she was my favorite person.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
And that's allowed. Hello.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
a monster.
Yeah. No.
It's just like, come on. Jillian with a J, Ashley is here.
Yeah.
She's the assistant chief of police in Michigan City.
We love her. And then we're going to hate her for like a second, but then we're going to get her back.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my own name, but she's Jillian with a J.
Jillian with a J.
Yeah.
I know.
So she says, look, the cops get as much evidence as they can from the crime scene, the fingerprints, shell casings, hair, like whatever they can get.
Yeah.
So this story is going to be told a lot from Jillian with a J and John, the former prosecutor.
Yeah. And they're both pretty great. They have one moment where we kind of hate them, but then everything works out in the end.
Yeah. I'll know when we get there, of course.
To
right?
when we hate them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, great.
But we learn, you know, Jillian with a J is telling us.
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
Yeah. Jillian with a J is telling us that the conflict at the party had been between two groups of kids from rivaling parts of towns. And they were like, you know, they were just like dealing with like the shit that, you know, young kids deal with. They were basically young and stupid is what they say. Yeah.
And there were dozens of people. There were like 150 people, lots of witnesses, but hardly any will speak to police because a lot of these kids are black.
Yes.
So they're not going to trust the cops. And a lot of these kids were like involved. Like when the bad kids came up, like yeah. Kenyatta said, like no one's going to talk because they're either scared
of course.
They don't want to incriminate themselves. So like there are a million and one reasons why none of the witnesses are speaking to police.
And it's awful because basically the 150 people saw what happened, but nobody will say anything.
No one's saying anything.
So Detective Ashley is saying
one name kept coming up. Cameron Kent, he was one of the party goers. There was witnesses that came forward and said that they actually did witness him shoot. When the party let out, he actually walked down a hill where multiple other party goers were. He pulled out a gun and he shot into the air.
Many people came forward and said that they saw him shoot, like be one of the shooters in the crowd. And so Detective Ashley is just saying, we talked to him extensively.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he gives up his gun and ultimately he's charged with Keisha's death.
Because this guy, James Sanders, was shot and injured and he told police that Cameron was walking down the hill firing shots in the air. So they're like, we have to talk to Cameron, obviously. They talk to Cameron and Cameron's like, I'll show you where the gun is. And he's 100% charged with Keisha's death, like right away.
It just, why do these kids have guns? I mean, I know that's a dumb rhetorical fucking question, but like, imagine being in a crowd of like people that you go to high school with and all of a sudden people are shooting.
Yeah, it's
that
crazy.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. And what's even crazier is that Cameron and Keisha were friends. Keisha's parents knew him.
And like, not even just friends, like close, like he would be at their house all the time.
He came over to their house all the time, but he also came over and offered his condolences and now he's been arrested.
Yeah.
So something is really off about this. It doesn't make any sense. So now it's September 25th, 2011. And it turns out Cameron was lying about the gun.
Right. Like the ballistics report comes back and the gun doesn't match the bullet that was found in Keisha's body. So Cameron couldn't have done it. Now I'm at least relieved that the cops are like, okay, well, I guess he didn't do it. We're going to drop the charges, as opposed to like burying that under the carpet and being like, we're going to prosecute this kid anyway.
Yeah, the charges are dropped. Cameron didn't do it, but I'm confused. One, why did he direct them to his gun in the first place? I guess guilt, or what am I missing? Well, and two, why would they charge him before the ballistics came back?
I know, and he's not here to tell us what the story here is. Because, like, was he saying it wasn't me, it wasn't me? And they're like, no, people saw you do it, so we're charging you.
But then he brought them to his gun where he hid it or whatever.
Maybe he gave them the gun thinking that that would, I mean, and luckily he did because it proved that he wasn't, like, if he hadn't given them the gun, he probably would have gone down for this.
It seems really ridiculous and out of line to charge someone before the ballistics come back.
Couldn't agree more.
But that's just me.
Jillian's law.
Just me. So if Cameron didn't kill Keisha, who did?
Right.
And now we're back to, like, no one wants to talk and the parents are telling their kids, stay out of it. No one wants retaliation from these gangs or whatever. They don't trust the cops.
Yeah. And this is where the prosecutor says, like, after going back to the public and getting no help from the 150 people who saw what happened, he was like, our decision was we were going to leave the case open, but we couldn't actively investigate it because, like, there's nothing to investigate at this point.
So there are no leads. There's no information. The case goes cold.
Yeah.
And so it's 2016, 5 years later. Calvin is having a really hard time. He's Keisha's dad.
And remember, like, we see him now and he's kind of full of energy and he's awesome. And he was talking about, like, how amazing their family was. But he's saying
Calvin was very depressed. So he didn't really talk. He didn't really come out of his room.
I just wanted to just lay there and wallow in my sorrow.
I just wanted to wallow in my sorrow.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. I think that there's a way that that actually makes you feel close to the dead person.
I think so, too. I think there's also a lot of guilt of, what does that say about me if I have a nice day?
Uh-huh.
What does that say about me if I move on?
Uh-huh.
Is there moving on? Is that forgetting this person? I think there's a lot of stuff that you internalize that I don't agree with. Like, I think you have to go outside, or I think you have to try to find joy somehow.
Because the thing about it is, like, if the rest of the family is trying to move on and you're the guy in the bedroom with the blinds down and the door closed, and like that compounds how hard it is for the rest of the family.
Yeah. And Calvin says something here that really struck me. He said, I was angry and I couldn't grieve.
Yes.
And I was like, that's a perfect way to say it, because he wanted to be in his anger, which I totally understand, but the family's going through the grieving process.
Yes.
Which eventually takes you out of that dark room.
Right.
And he wanted to be with his anger. And I hear that.
I get it. I get it. But, you know, Janice is saying he felt like he failed Keisha and he failed all of us. He's like this. She's saying this was why he was overprotective. This was the thing he was trying to protect right. her from. And in that one moment where he's like, I shouldn't let her go, but I did. She walked right into it. And also, like, Kenyatta, the younger brother, is like,
but he still had other kids. I felt a ton of resentment, actually. But seeing my mom being this fortress, this rock, a woman of strength, showed me that I need to make sure that I am being a man of strength and being a support system for my family.
When I saw that my mom was a fortress for the family, I realized I could be a fortress for my family too. And now I hate this expression, but for lack of a better way of saying it, he decides he's got to like be the man of the family because his dad is just absent. His dad is absent, but he's right there.
He's right there.
You know?
Maybe you can't get to him.
Which is worse.
Yeah. So, you know, Janice was leading the support system. She was the strength. And then now we meet Eileen Silk Stebbins, who's yes. Nikisha's childhood friend. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's in college. She's on Facebook. She comes across what she calls a slam page.
Have you ever heard of this?
I know, like, a shitposting page. It's just, like, people who want to talk shit like fucking losers.
But wait, and because Facebook is not anonymous. So, like, she's saying it's, like, this is where you can go and, like, talk shit about people anonymously. But I'm like, do you make a fake Facebook profile?
I guess that you make, like, a burn account, I guess.
Okay. And
something.
You're just, like, there to talk shit about people?
It's just, like, a cesspool of negativity and bullshit.
The internet can really be used for the forces of evil.
I know. It's, you know, ridiculous.
I know.
But she calls it a slam page. And so just a bunch of fucking losers who want to talk shit anonymously. Like, cool story, bro.
Except I feel like in this instance, it's kind of like people who have information and don't have a better way of getting it to the family.
Well, now it's become that, but yeah. The origin of it is bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're talking
I've
about...
I've never seen anything like that. Maybe I'm on, like, loser Facebook. I've never seen a thing where people just go and be mean to people on Facebook.
I think we've agreed that those people are the losers.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Do you know that there are chat boards or whatever on, like, BroadwayWorld.com is a place where you can just go and anonymously talk shit about Broadway actors and Broadway shows?
Yeah, welcome to the internet.
I mean...
There are, like, a million corners of the internet that are about anonymously shit-talking people. It's like...
I love...
Who has the time, I wonder?
The losers.
The losers.
Yeah.
So, but here's what's going on, though. In this one, people are starting to talk about Keisha, saying they know who killed her.
Yes.
That's when they started dropping, like, names and these clothes were worn. I know this gun was there. Kind of giving, like, hints of who killed Keisha.
Details are starting to come out because it's been, like, 5.5 years.
Yeah.
And so people are saying way too much, though. And the comments are getting deleted, but screenshots live forever.
Yes.
And so Keisha's friends are screenshotting everything and sending it all to her father.
Yeah. And the dad is like, I barely knew what Facebook was. The dad is despondent. He's up in the room, can't do anything. But now all of a sudden he's seeing there's, like, information about his daughter's murder.
And so Calvin takes the screenshots and brings them to the police. And the police do not care.
This is Detective Jillian Ashley with a J. This is where we lose her for 1 minute. Because she literally is like, sorry, like, that's third-party information. It's hearsay. We can't use it. And I'm like, could you look at it, though?
She says we need a real source from a real witness. And I say, okay, sure.
Right.
But could you ask a question?
Yeah.
Could you maybe look into it?
Maybe you could look at any of the information on this post and see if it corroborates anything you've heard. Maybe it'll send... This is the biggest example of we just don't give a shit I've seen in a while.
It's a little bit like, could you do a little bit of digging?
Right.
Could you just track something down? And if it turns out to be nothing, that's fine. But it's been a cold case for 5.5 years. And this father, a lot of people are saying the same shit.
Right. And, like, remember, 150 people were there and know what happened. And these are the people that are talking on this anonymous group. Like, I feel like in another circumstance, people would be jumping at this opportunity to see this information.
Right.
Girl, Cornbread Hemp CBD Gummies is back. I'm obsessed. I've started taking this weightlifting class at the gym, which gives me the aches and pains, and I don't want to, like, be popping those, like, Advil or whatever. I started taking Cornbread Hemp CBD Gummies after my workout.
Yeah, and what's great is that it's just sort of a natural way to relieve these aches and pains or just discomfort or being, you know, just a little too stressed out. So the CBD gummies from Cornbread Hemp are formulated to work with your body, not against it.
Totally.
We got too much of that already.
No, and honestly, like, I was never a CBD gummies person, but then Cornbread Hemp came into my life, and I really love it. And it, like, it's just like a mellow, mild thing where I just feel like I'm taking care of myself.
It's so easy. Those gummies pop them right in.
I know. It's a little
so
too
nice.
Easy.
So
it can
nice.
Be too easy. So, fam, right now, TCO listeners can save 30% on their first order.
Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout.
That's cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO.
There you go.
Do it.
Have a nice night, everyone. Just relax a little bit. Lighten up.
Girl, this episode is brought to you by IQBar, our exclusive snack sponsor.
IQBar is the better-for-you plant protein-based snacks made with brain-boosting nutrients to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger without the sugar crash.
Can I tell you that IQBar has been my go-to snack for, like, when I need an actual meal between meals for, like, years and years now? They're, like, simple ingredients, totally delicious, and totally filling.
They're plant protein bars, by the way.
Yes.
They're packed with high-quality ingredients. They keep you physically and mentally fit. They're so delicious. They have these, like, toasted coconut chip or banana nut. The chocolate sea salt is
yes.
to die.
Chocolate sea salt I have on order. They're also free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners for a natural anytime snack.
Yeah. They sent me the sampler pack. Mike and I were, like, trying to ration who gets what because they all taste so good.
So good. And with over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are starting their days on the right foot with IQ Bar's brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees.
Yeah. So right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping.
To get your 20% off, text TCO to 64,000.
Text TCO to 64,000.
That's TCO to 64,000.
Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Always with the rules.
Right. But while you're snacking on the peanut butter chip, IQ Bar, obviously.
Totally.
So Calvin agrees with us, obviously, because he goes back. He brings everything to the cops. They say, like, cool
yeah.
story. We can't do anything. And he goes home and, like, stews on it. And all night long, he's like, no,
yeah.
We're not doing this.
No.
So the next day he goes back and he's like, are you seriously not going to do anything? Because if you don't, I will. And, like, I'm just warning you.
He's like, I'm just here to confirm that you said you're not going to do anything about this. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly.
And they're like, oh, you heard us. We're not going to do anything.
Definitely
he goes,
not.
Cool, bet.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
he goes to his car
yeah.
and he goes on Facebook. And he says, I see a button that says live.
I love this so
much.
And
he clicks on it and he goes, and it said 3, 2, 1. And in Hollywood, that means action. And I'm like, yes,
Calvin,
let's go.
Yes.
Calvin goes live outside the police department.
It's amazing.
And he's like, these people won't help me, man. Tom, can we hear a lot of what he says? Because
yeah.
he says what everyone is thinking.
They ran me out of the police station last night, told me they can't do nothing for me, man. They killed my daughter. 4 days before her birthday, man. I had to bury her for her 18th birthday, and these police would not help me. I got all the screenshots, and they still don't want to do nothing about it.
I had to bury my daughter for her 18th birthday and nobody will help me. That's the other thing. She was murdered 4 days shy of her birthday.
Yeah.
He buried her on her birthday.
I know.
And now he's got information for the first time in 5 years and nobody will help.
And it's so sad and it
yeah.
breaks your heart, but it's kind of amazing
yes.
to watch.
Yes,
just
it
like
is.
This fire come out of him. And at one point he's arguing with a police officer in the street in the rain. That rain is a paid actor.
I know, because what happens is he's out there because we're seeing the number of shares on the Facebook post going from 1 to 5 to 13 to 40 to 90. So the cops are very aware this is happening. So after kicking him out and being like, we're not going to help you, they send somebody out to be like, we would, you know what we would love to do? We'd love to help you.
Talk about this quietly inside.
We would. And he's like, fuck that. Fuck you.
Right.
I don't want your fucking help. I'm going to do this on my own now.
Now, Kenyatta hears about it at school.
Yes.
It's going viral, like where people are like, hey, your dad is doing that. And Kenyatta is loving it because he's like, that's not the person who was locked in his room every day. Like,
no.
This is who we needed.
He's like, my dad's back. Like, can you imagine, like, your awesome dad, Calvin, who was awesome all your life, then you lost your sister and basically your dad in the same day.
Yes.
The dad's right there, but he's gone for 5 years and all of a sudden he's got all of his passion back.
It's amazing. It's energizing everyone.
Yes.
Like, Kenyatta, everyone, the community, 85,000 people watched.
Yes.
So many comments, shares, people all over the world. People are coming down in real time.
I know.
This video started with Calvin alone outside the department, and now people are showing up with signs honking their horn in real time.
And it's like days and days, and he's just doing it every single day.
And now Jessie Schultz is one of those 85,000 people who saw this. She's a reporter. She was a brand new reporter at the time, and she sees this Facebook Live, and she's like,
I remember seeing Calvin's Facebook Live. There was so much raw emotion there, and grief and sorrow and anger, and I wanted to talk to him. My news director at the time said, if you really want to do this, go an hour away and just get back in time to get it on air.
She's so moved by it that she drives an hour away to meet Calvin outside.
And this is her first job out of college, by the way. She had to pitch this to her news director, who's like, girl, go do it. Just be back in time to get it on the air.
And she does.
Yeah.
So she like hears about the story, drives an hour, reports everything, films whatever she has to do, and has a story in time for air that night.
Yes.
This is what I'm fucking talking about.
It's so good.
This is how you get stuff done.
And what's amazing about Calvin is that, like, you can see he doesn't even know, like, in the beginning, he did not know the power of what he was doing.
No.
He didn't know the power of what, like,
an outlet.
Hitting go live would do, you know?
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
So he's going live constantly.
Yes.
News stations are picking up the story. It's everywhere. Because now you have all these people invested and they want updates.
Yes.
And he's giving the people what they want, which unfortunately is nothing right now.
Right.
And the more he says that, the more galvanized people are and the more eyes and ears are on this thing.
And so this leads the chief at the time to assign new detectives to the case. Like, finally, like, they said no a week ago. And now just based on him, like, taking his own initiative, they've got new... And Jillian Ashley is one of the detectives assigned to the case.
So Jillian Ashley is now a captain, but at this time she was a detective.
Yeah.
So it's Jillian Ashley and Anna Painter.
Yes.
And so they make a plea to the community. They're like, look, do this for Keisha. Do this for her father. This is your community.
Do what
too.
We wouldn't do a week ago.
Right.
Thank you so much.
And they say, they were like, you guys were young when it happened, but you're adults now.
Yes.
So stand up and be the adult in the room. Do the right thing. Help us solve this case.
And this is what they count on in these cold cases, that, like, what you were afraid of 5 years ago, maybe you're not afraid of anymore.
Right.
Maybe that person that you were afraid of that did this died or moved away
or whatever,
you know?
Or you just, like, you have a different view of the world.
Maybe you have kids now.
Maybe.
And this means something different to you. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So detectives Jillian with a J and Anna get to work. They start the case over completely, which is usually what happens in a situation like this. Like, fresh eyes, we're going to start again from scratch. They start with they have 140 statements.
On, like, CD-ROM, apparently.
Yeah.
We see all the CD-ROM. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. They listen to them again, like they've never heard them before.
Yeah.
So let's go back to 2011, the initial investigation.
Yes.
Michael Cooper is a witness.
Michael Cooper came forward to say, I have information about her death, about who was responsible. It was a young man whose name is Charles Guerin. He had a gun that night. I saw him shoot into the crowd, and he is the one that's responsible for Nikisha's death.
This guy, Charles Guerin, killed Nikisha. He had a gun. He shot into the crowd.
Yes.
And killed her.
And he saw it happen.
Now, this statement was not corroborated at the time in 2011, but the cops weren't unfamiliar with Charles Guerin. We learned that there were, quote, previous encounters with him.
Starting at the age of 16.
Right. Then there's also Skyesha Pender. She's a witness.
Right.
And she says in 2011, all she said to the cops, because again, no one wanted to say anything, no one wanted to get involved.
Yeah.
She said, I did hear shots fired, but that's all she's going to say.
Right. So in 2016, Skyesha Pender is re-interviewed. She says the same thing. She doesn't want to go much further, but ends up giving a very useful statement. So she says in 2011, she was in a relationship with this guy, Charles Guerin, the guy that we think is the killer.
Yeah.
She was at the party. He showed up. After the party broke up, 75 to 100 kids poured into the street. She heard the sound of what she thought were firecrackers at a distance down the hill, followed by three loud, close sounds of gunfire. And she looked directly towards the sound of the gunfire, saw her boyfriend, Charles Guerin, shooting into the crowd down the hill.
What is wrong with him? Who shoots into a crowd like that? What is happening?
To what end?
I don't understand.
What is the reason for this?
God, as much destruction as you could possibly cause.
I mean, there's no way that you can do that without knowing that you're going to kill somebody.
Right. Now, this is great for the case.
Yeah.
Because Skyesha just corroborated what Michael Cooper said.
Exactly.
So now they can focus on Charles Guerin and they get an arrest warrant.
Although we lacked the kind of evidence that we desire, that being some other physical evidence in the case, get the gun. We didn't have that, but I knew we had great testimonial evidence. We had two people whose statements are being provided independent of each other.
two people say they saw him independently?
Meaning, look, they didn't know each other. There's no reason for them both to be pointing
They're
at the same guy.
They're not in cahoots.
They're not in cahoots. And that it would be really helpful if they had the gun. They don't have the gun, but they've got these two statements. They think, like, I think more than anything, they're feeling the pressure from, like, the Facebook Live audience. Like, we got to do fucking something.
Exactly.
You know? And when in doubt, go on Facebook Live.
And speaking of Facebook Live, this arrest, because they arrest this Charles guy, happened 1 month after Calvin's first Facebook Live. That is fast.
And now, it's been 5 years since any movement in the case and 4 weeks since the police said, we're not going to fucking help you.
Yeah.
He went on Facebook Live in the parking lot. 1 month later, they arrest this
guy. And they have an arrest.
Like,
and people are starting to come forward.
You know what I would love? I would love somebody to go through the comments from that burn page or whatever it's called, that slam page, and see if any of that evidence pointed to this Charles Guerin guy. And if it did, everybody should be fired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did.
It was right there.
Yeah. I would say it's a very safe bet that that guy's name was mentioned in this.
You know what I mean? It's like, I can't blame how blatantly Detective Ashley herself is here to say, yeah, we weren't going to look at it. Sorry.
At it.
It just, it was, you know, hearsay or whatever. It's like,
or whatever,
you know?
Yeah. So everyone knows Charles and his friends. And Calvin says they were always shooting around here all the time. They were the bad kids and people were scared of them. And that's a major reason why no one was saying anything. But like 5.5 years is a long time. So grow up and speak up.
I'm so conflicted about that. Of course, you don't want to put anybody else in danger, but like if it's my kid and I know that my neighbor's kid knows who killed her, but they're too, and I know that their parents are saying, stay out of it, mind your own business.
It just causes more attention in the community.
And it's like somebody knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a dead kid here.
I know. So, but Chief Jillian with a J says an arrest is not a conviction. So we have a long road ahead. Because again, this case is pretty weak. We're looking for reasonable doubt in front of a jury. Like it's kind of there.
Right. Because it's 2016 and Skyesha's just been re-interviewed, but they got to go find this Michael Cooper guy who gave the original statement that Skyesha just corroborated.
Well, guess what, everybody? Yeah. They meet with Michael Cooper. He recants his statement.
Yes.
Michael recanted his previous statement, denied that that truly happened. He said that I made it up. I told the investigators what they wanted to hear. I told you what happened 5.5 years ago. You didn't think what I had to say was strong enough. Don't bother me now. I've moved on.
So now this means we're back to square one.
Yeah.
And this is a problem because now there's no case. There's one witness. It took her 5.5 years to talk. Now nothing is corroborated because Michael Cooper said, I'm out. There's no physical evidence.
Right.
John, the lawyer, is like, oh, this is not a case you take to trial. Like, yikes.
And they're saying like they could maybe force some kind of plea agreement for something far less than murder or whatever. But the best part is that they make the decision, the prosecutor makes the decision to let him plead to criminal recklessness, which would have gotten him like a year in prison or whatever.
Because that's the only case the DA can prove. And so they're like, it's kind of this or nothing. So they're going to do something.
But they take it to the judge who clearly has been following this story on Facebook Live. The judge says, hell no.
Because what happens is that everyone's devastated.
Yeah.
And Calvin is on Facebook Live, like super emotional about like this guy's going to get a plea deal. And the family and the community come together and demand that the judge reject the deal. And they do.
And the judge does it. Now, the prosecutor could have dropped the case at that point because the judge says, I'm not taking this plea deal. So either you try to go all the way with this thing or you drop it. Those are your only two choices.
We're going all the way, girl.
Yeah.
We are going all the way, May.
Get this guy.
We're going to trial with one witness who didn't say anything for 5.5 years and no physical evidence.
Yeah.
This is tough.
Right.
I don't know shit about shit, but this is hard.
Yeah. But I'm glad. Like, I'm glad that, you know, I don't know.
They're going
to try. I'm glad they're going to try.
They're going to try.
This is it.
And really try, not this, like, criminal reckless thing. Like, really try it for real.
Yes.
Travel.
Hey fam, it's Patrick and Jillian. Listen, if you're enjoying TCO, we've got something you need to check out.
It's the brand new Crime House original series, Clues, hosted by Morgan Abscher and Kaylin Moore.
And if their names sound familiar to you, that's because Morgan hosts the podcast, Two Hot Takes, and Kaylin hosts the podcast, Heart Starts Pounding, I love it. And they're coming together to host this new series, Clues.
Every Wednesday, Morgan and Kaylin take you deep into the world of the most notorious crimes ever, where a single clue can crack a case wide open.
From shocking murders to high-stakes trials, Clues unpacks the forensic evidence and obsessive sleuthing behind the investigations that still have people talking to this very day.
Kaylin is your true crime expert, breaking down the cold, hard facts of these cases.
And Morgan is your internet detective, going into full Reddit mode to uncover the theories and weird details you definitely haven't heard.
Follow Clues now wherever you get your podcasts.
New episodes drop every Wednesday.
So it's September 17th. They really need Michael Cooper to talk. The guy who recanted his statement.
So we subpoenaed him to produce himself for an interview. So Michael was ordered to show up in Indiana, and he didn't.
He ignores the subpoena. I didn't know this was a thing you can do.
He ghosts it. He just doesn't show up.
I'm just the person who does what they are told. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm the kid that grew up, like, when the kids were talking too loud in social studies, I'm like, stop it. The teacher's going to yell. If I'm subpoenaed
for... You didn't, ask for homework, did you?
I did once.
You did?
I did one time. I did one time
no.
ask if we could have a 500-word essay for the next day. I did once
on
ask.
On what?
I don't remember, but it was social studies, and I was like,
for the specific assignment, it wasn't teacher, it's 3:30 on a Friday. You forgot about homework.
It was eighth grade. Mr. Baudot didn't give any homework, and I was like, could we maybe, have an essay? We could write an essay on this for tomorrow, looking around, like, isn't that a great idea? Are you all excited to continue the conversation? Through our essays.
How
tomorrow.
Dare you?
I know.
Why would you
I
do
know.
That?
I was just a little gay boy who didn't know any better. I just wanted to continue the conversation. I didn't
but
remember what we were talking about.
You don't want to do anything like that now.
But,
you don't want to... But I'm saying, you don't seem like the person who wants to do, extra, homework, write an essay.
No, but I just remember the conversation. I remember we were having an interesting conversation. I was like, what if we all go home and think about this?
You just wanted to keep talking about
it. Write an essay. Come back in tomorrow. We can all, read our essays to each other. I think it was more like I thought I was a good writer, and I just wanted people to tell me how good my essay was.
You wanted to be graded on
totally.
It. You didn't just want to do it,
No, not even graded. I wanted to read it out loud and everybody be like, wow, that was really good. I know. I'm the bad guy here.
I know, a little bit. A 500-word essay. I would have been like,
I know.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
So the prosecution subpoenas him for the interview. He ghosts them. He doesn't show up. Now,
I just can't believe that. I can't believe you think you can just not show up for a subpoena.
Well, as Chief Jillian with a J says, not really.
No.
So she uses this word here that she thinks I don't know what the translation is.
Uh-huh.
So she goes, what we did next was, quote, unconventional, but had to be done. The translation is they find some bullshit reason to arrest him and bring him back to Indiana.
In which case, this case, I say good.
Bada
you know
bing,
what I
bada
mean?
Boom, we're talking to Michael Cooper. But they sit down, that's what unconventional means,
totally.
Jillian with a J.
Of
Let's
course.
Be real about
right.
it.
Right. She's the one who said, we're not going to help you, sorry.
Yeah, she's
you know what I mean?
We found a lesser charge. It was a bullshit charge.
Right.
So they sit down with him, and according to John, the prosecutor, they are super nice.
I think I know what you must be thinking. That you told what you knew, nobody listened, nobody believed you because nobody did anything about it. But we're here and we believe you and we'd like to have that conversation with you.
In that process, he decided, I'll do it. He'll talk.
They just want to reason with him, and it's all about justice.
I love in your version they've got him tied to a chair.
Well, because suddenly Michael Cooper does decide to cooperate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, did they maybe, perhaps, I don't know, threaten him with a bigger charge?
Uh-huh.
How unconventional did we get here?
Listen, if you ignore a subpoena, that's, I don't know what level of crime that is, but it's not good.
I understand, and I know that he's important to the case.
Yeah.
But how unconventional did we get here? How much lying did we do? Because we know cops are allowed to lie.
Uh-huh.
So what did we really offer him or threaten him with to get him to suddenly talk?
Uh-huh.
Because 2 days ago, he didn't want to.
But he is being a little piece of shit about it. Don't
I
you think?
Agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I agree. I'm just talking about the system.
Right.
That
I know.
Want burned down to the ground.
Jillian's law. I'm telling you, we got to make the show.
But we have a Jillian with a J right here.
But she would not be sent for if she accidentally got on that spaceship. It seems like she would not be sent for at this point.
I don't know. I can't make that decision without consulting the coven. I can't do it. I can't make things on. This is not a cheerocracy.
You're right.
All right. We got our two corroborating. We got our two corroborating witnesses. We're back in action.
It's a stupid word.
It's a horrible word.
It's really
I hate
stupid.
It. It's one of my least favorite words.
It's a bad word.
I don't know if I can pick another one.
Uh-huh. Certificate. I don't like that one either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had a really hard time with that one when I was a kid.
It's a tough one.
I couldn't say certificate. Yeah.
It's not as bad as corroborating.
Corroborating is pretty bad.
It sounds like you're saying it wrong.
I know. No, it's a
Maleficent. That's another
Maleficent
one. Because I
a
always
one.
Feel like I am inverting it.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
I think so.
It stresses me out.
I know.
So does corroborate.
Yeah.
Both of our witnesses say two things. One, that the shooter was wearing a plaid or a checkered shirt. And two, that shooter is Charles Garrett.
Yes. But the problem with that is that when he came in for his interview on the night of the shooting, he was not wearing that identifiably plaid shirt.
Now, we see the footage.
Yes.
And he's wearing this very, very, very bright neon green number.
Yes.
And Chief Jillian is like, oh my God, it was so green. Too green. It was beyond green. It was so green. I can't even stand it.
Look,
and
green's my favorite color. It's even too green for me.
It was green.
It was pretty
But
green.
I like your sneaks. sneaks. Your green
thank
sneaks.
You. Thank you so much. I am wearing new sneakers
that's
today.
A great kind of like, wow, that's green, but as a compliment green. That green
no,
number.
The neon, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air neon green is no good.
You've
I agree.
Done it in Fresh Prince. Let's
yeah,
move on.
Moving on.
If it ain't broke, like, let's leave it.
But more importantly, like, he's not wearing that plaid shirt. And so this is where.
This is bad for the case.
It's bad for the case.
And this is Friday. The trial starts Monday. What are we going to do?
Well, Prosecutor John.
As we were preparing the case for trial, and I'm meeting with, for the first time, Skyesha, just as a sort of desperate hope, not with any real expectation, I asked her if she took any pictures that night on her phone, and she told me she didn't.
Did you take any pictures with him at the party where he might have been wearing that shirt? She says no.
Also, you're just asking her about photos now?
3 days before the case.
Because we just have two people saying, yeah, he was wearing a shirt. I'd love to see proof of it. I'm thinking as a jury member now.
Yes, yes.
This is really bad.
Right. Because the shooter that these two people have identified, they're like, he was wearing a plaid shirt. We don't have him in a plaid shirt. We have him in a green shirt.
And the only footage we have of him from that night is in a green shirt.
Yes.
This is bad.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. There was a photo booth set up.
Yes.
And Skyesha and Charles were together when the party started.
Charles is the shooter.
Charles is the shooter. They were dating when the party started. They were boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yes.
So they take photos together in the photo booth. Also, if there's a photo booth, take the pictures. You'll never regret it.
You'll
I love a
never
photo booth.
Regret it.
I love a photo booth.
Couldn't
and then
more.
When it prints out, write the date and where you were
totally.
On the back of it. And put them in a nice little place.
Listen, and also if Jillian just stops in the middle of an episode and gives you advice, take it. Just
I
take it.
I love a photo booth.
Yeah.
They're so fun.
I love it
you
too.
You will find those photo strips and really like be filled with love.
I've got one
nostalgia.
On my little wall with me and Daisy. It's the cutest thing.
Love a photo booth.
Yeah, totally.
Black and white if possible. Color I'll take, but black and white I think is the way to go.
God, wouldn't it be great to have a photo booth in your home?
I would love that. Like a jukebox, a photo booth.
Uh-huh. Jukebox.
Remember in The Craft where the mom only wanted a jukebox that plays Connie Francis? And they're like, who's Connie Francis? She's like, oh, shut up, listen and learn, honey.
So Skyesha's like, no pictures on my own. But we did take pictures in the photo booth. John is like, do you still have those? She says, no. She says, I don't have them because when I saw my best friend Keisha was shot, I dropped the pictures on the ground next to her.
So here's what happened. I just want to slow down on this.
Yeah.
They show up to the party. They're dating Skyesha
and the shooter.
They take a photo booth thing. Highly recommend.
Yes.
15/10. Recommend it.
Totally.
Here's what happened. Skyesha hears the gunshots. She sees Charles shooting into the crowd. She sees that her friend Nakisha has been killed. She is next to her friend Nakisha's body. In her anger, she throws down the photo booth pictures because fuck this guy.
Yes.
And they are done, broken up immediately.
Yes.
But she's so angry that she doesn't even want the pictures. She throws them down. So John is like, wait a second.
This Prosecutor John.
Prosecutor John, wait a second. Could maybe, against hope, please praying to all deities, like when you have food poisoning, the same deities, you call them all in.
I
really need help here. Everyone, if you're listening, please, God.
Yeah.
Could there be a photo of a photo in our crime scene photos?
Because he remembers, he sees the crime scene photos and he remembers, wait a second, there was an envelope with a picture in it in the crime scene photo. And he looks at the crime scene photo and he's like, you can barely see the outline of a shirt. They go to the evidence box from 5 years ago. They find the envelope with the pictures of Skyesha and the shooter from the photo booth. Bada bing, bada boom. He's wearing the plaid shirt.
We got him. We got the photos.
We
got him.
In that moment in time, the physical evidence corroborating the testimony of those two key witnesses was added to the evidence of the trial or of the case. You can call it a smoking gun in a case where there was no gun found.
It was a smoking gun in the case where the gun was never found.
Yeah, where there is no smoking gun.
Yeah.
Great. So everyone's very excited about this. Again, talk about down to the wire. We're doing this
3 days
on work. Friday.
What was the plan should this not have happened?
I don't
know.
You
know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think John was like, I was just going to really argue my ass off
and
hope that our two witnesses were good enough. But I think he was going in there saying, I'm doing this for Keisha and her family.
Yes.
Knowing that this is going to be a major uphill battle.
Yep.
So it's September 19th, 2017. The trial starts 6 years later. Because remember, Nakisha was killed in 2011.
Yeah.
Courtroom is packed.
On both sides.
All of the Facebook Live people.
Yes.
So many people from around the world have been following this case.
Yep.
All eyes are on it. So Janice, Nakisha's mother, says, like, it was hard, but she says the trial was therapeutic.
Yes.
We have more witnesses who say that they saw Charles, the shooter, with a gun earlier at the party. Then we have our two witnesses saying that he shot the gun.
Yes.
Now, the defense is saying, give me a break. All we need here is a reasonable doubt. And let me tell you, jury, you have it.
Uh-huh.
You have it. And I hate to say it. Like, I hear what they're saying in a courtroom.
Yeah.
Sitting here in my feelings. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
In a courtroom. But maybe that picture would have gotten me.
I think the picture is the... Without the picture, I'm not sure what would have happened.
Yeah.
And both sides argue pretty... forcefully, and our reporter friend is saying when the case goes to the jury, she's like, it could have gone either way. Like, they both had good, solid points. I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
I agree. This was a very hard case walking into a courtroom.
Because we don't have the murder weapon. We don't, you know what I mean? Like, we can't connect it to the, like, there's 150 people. No one, only these two have come forward.
And I wonder if the fact that Michael Cooper recanted would be admissible. Because if I were defense, I'd be like, so he recanted and now he's back and they get him on this bullshit charge and now suddenly he's talking again. Yeah. Like, what did they threaten him with? I don't know if that was admissible or not, but something I would do if I was a lawyer.
Well, September 26, 2017, it's the day of the verdict. It's also Calvin's birthday. It's also my mother's birthday.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Wow.
Charles Guerin is found guilty.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which is great news for everyone, but kind of, I mean, when I say this could have gone either way.
100%.
They must have been terrified.
And, you know, we're at home with Calvin and the family, and, like, Calvin still struggles to this day with his guilt and missing his daughter, and their son is saying,
I don't think he sees the magnitude of what he's done, but that's because he's in his head all the time. The moment he gets out of his head, he can just see how amazing he is.
I was trying to give you the thumbs up.
He took his circumstances and literally changed them. If that's not inspirational, I truly don't know what is.
He isn't able to step outside of himself and see what he did for Keisha and,
like,
for our family.
This all happened because Calvin had it.
Yes.
And he went on Facebook Live, which was brand new at the time.
Yes.
In 2011.
Like, totally.
He didn't even know what he was doing. He was just like he said, I saw live. It said 3, 2, 1. That's in Hollywood. They say action. Like,
totally.
I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
And he was so honest and raw, and he galvanized this community. But, like, he just hit a button.
I know.
And, like, spoke his truth. And now here we are.
It's,
he made it happen. Without him, we would not be here.
100%. And he did it out of frustration and rage.
Yeah.
And it worked. And we
rage
learned...
is a very powerful thing, I will tell you that.
Oh, girl.
Very powerful.
Charles Guerin was sentenced to 50 years in prison, and a 2018 appeal was denied.
Yeah. And now we're with Keisha's family, and it's time to really start the healing process.
Yes.
Because if you remember, Calvin was saying, I just wanted to be my anger. I didn't want to grieve.
Uh-huh.
There was no room for grieving.
Uh-huh.
I was angry. And so now that he used that anger, channeled it, and we got to here, and now this grieving process, as, like, a family, this really connected family.
Yeah.
And maybe they can come back to that and sort of, like, have some of that joy that they had for so much. And that doesn't take anything away from Nikisha.
Totally. I hope so. I want that for
them.
Like, you know, they just seem like a really incredible, tight unit, you know?
And that's what they say. Like, they're trying to find peace. It's not closure. There's no such thing as closure.
Right.
But, like, they are so lucky that they all have each other and they can make shit happen and they can have delicious baked goods while they do it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Girl, what's it called?
This is our second bonus episode. It's that series Web of Death.
Yes.
Episode 5 is called Facebook Live.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's really about the murder of Nikisha Hodges Hawkins.
Yes. Fam, if you love what we do, come join us on Patreon. You've got over 450 full ad-free bonus episodes to download and binge the second you sign up.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's so many.
Just objectively, that's a big number.
It's a lot. It's where we cover all of the series that happen that are more than one episode. So it's like we did the Gabby Petito one and
we did Ashley Madison. Remember Ashley Madison?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We did Bad Vegan. We did The Jinx. We're doing Scamanda. We did Anatomy of Lies.
Yes.
Lots of Fake Cancer.
Ugh.
We're doing Fox Hollow. We're doing Look Into My Eyes. We got, like, the Patreon is...
It's crazy.
I don't want to say popping, but I'm saying popping.
It's popping. We've got Drag Bingo at the $5 level.
Yes.
Once a month. It's my favorite thing.
Schwa's the best.
Ad-free episodes. We got a tier where we send you some stuff sometimes. It's just a really fun place if you
it's
want
fun.
More
and
of
And sometimes
us.
We make special episodes for you. Like,
yes.
We were doing Unsolved Mysteries and...
Yeah.
We have some new ideas brewing for that, too. So we'll see. Just if it's a party. Everyone's invited. If you want to come to the party, that's great.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
You're invited.
Fam, we love you. Thanks for checking out our bonus episodes. They're so fun. We love doing this.
And there's more coming. This is only our second bonus episode.
I know. We have like 25 this year.
I was going to say, we have like double digits coming your way. So stay tuned for that shortly. Now that, like, this is what happens with the bonus episodes. Now that the floodgates are open, you will be getting these bonus episodes regularly.
Truly.
Just let
Truly.
You know.
All right. We love you.
All right. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.